I think last week we left off on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. I think the second wide line on the Amud. The Gemara quoted a Machlokes Amoraim. What's the din if a person violates Roiv Dini HaTorah? He violates from all of the mitzvahs that he's aware of that apply Bizman Hazeh. A lot of mitzvahs don't apply, have to do with the Beis Hamikdash. But from most of the mitzvahs that he knows exist, he violates Roiv of them, Saruba Kukula, so he's a Mumer L'chol HaTorah Kula. It's a Dina Ka'akum. So if he shechts a behemah, it wouldn't be kosher. That's a Machloikis in Shulchan Aruch, whether that's the Raisa de Rabbanah. That din that a Mumer, Dina Ka'akum, whether that's a din the Raisa din the Rabbanah. Then the Gemara had a Machloikis Samarayim. What about one is a Mumer only for one Avera? The one Avera. So Reb Meir's opinion is in Mechoris, he's not quoted here. Meir says, Mechoris Daf Lamed, Mumer Adavar Echad is Dina Ka'akum. A guy's a professional ganef. A guy always wears shatnas, so he doesn't care. A guy doesn't care about taras hamishpacha, doesn't care about kashrus, and everything else he does keep. One aver he doesn't keep. So Reb Meir's opinion is dina ka'akum if he shechts a behem, it's not acceptable. So we're lucky we don't pass like Reb Meir. Okay, guy always talks lashon hara. Some of my best friends talk lashon hara. So a person always does one aver. He never observes the aver. So Reb Meir's opinion, Mumun Adabrechad is Dina Ka'akum L'chadat Harkul. So we don't pass like our Meir. So the Gemara had a Machlek as Samaroyim. What if the one Aver that he violates is Avodah Zarah? That's a major Aver. So we pass in Halacha that a Mumun Avodah Zarah is Dina Kenachri, even though he observes everything else. He goes to Shul and he davens to the God of the Jewish people, but he goes to church also, whatever. He does Avodah Zarah also, in addition to Avodah Hashem, he does Avodah Zarah. So we paskin that a mumer le davar echad, if the davar echad is avodah zarah, is dina ka'akum, and then the Gemara is going to quote also Mechal Shabbos b'farhesia. Mechal Shabbos b'farhesia means, first of all, b'mezit. If it's b'shoigig, it's not called farhesia. Secondly, farhesia means he's not embarrassed even from the chief rabbi. He's not embarrassed, and he's breaking the discipline in the Jewish community. Everybody else is Shema Shabbos, he's Mechal Shabbos, and he doesn't care. That's what after the beginning of the Reform movement, so many Jews were not observing Shabbos, so the Binyan Tzion, Rabbi Yanke Vettlinger, lived in Germany, so he paskin that in such a situation, there's no din of mumer chal Shabbos b'farhesi. That the Chazanish also lived in Lithuania before he came to Eretz Yisrael, said there were so many mechal Shabbos, so he can't call a mechal Shabbos b'farhesi. If you live in a religious community, where the Ruba of the people are observing Shabbos, and one fellow is a wise guy. he knows what Shabbos is supposed to be. And he violates it with chutzpah. He doesn't care. He's not embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos in the presence of anyone. Then is Dina Ka'akum.
Farhesia
means that at least 10 people know about it, but that's not enough. Let's say he's not embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos in public, but when a rabbi walks by or a chief rabbi walks by, then he won't be Mechal Shabbos. So that's the Gemara considers that not Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesi. That's called Mechal Shabbos b'Tzina. That's a Gemara in Erevin. So on the second wide line, on Daf Hayam and Aleph, the Gemara says, Mesvi. They're going to ask Akasha. We have a pasuk in the beginning of Ayikra. Od mikem ki yakriv korban l'Hashem. I think that's where we left off. Anybody remember? I think that's where we left off. Od mikem ki yakriv korban l'Hashem. So it's not, mem is a miyut. Some people we can accept the korban, some people not. So mikem v'loy kulchem. Sounds like not all Jews can donate. And the pasuk talks about a korban oila, a donation, not a chatas that you mechuyev to bring because you did an avera. Korban oila is a doron, a matana. He wants to give a matana out of the goodness of his heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk says, od mikem v'loy kulchem, not from everybody, lahotzi, to exclude us a mumer. If the fellow's a mumer, mumer means he violates dini hater. Which averas does he violate? How many averas does he violate? He's violating the majority of the averas, or only one avera. It doesn't say, lahotzi es amumer. And then it says, mikem, odem mikem, from among the Jewish people. So we have two levels of diuk on the post. Mikem means from the Jewish people. Bachem chilaktiv, loy be'umus.
this distinction that if the person is a mumer, you can't accept a matana, a korban from him, that's only if he's Jewish and he's a mumer. If he's a nochri who's an oibet avodah zarah, and he violates avodah zarah from the shevet mitzvah, we can accept the korban. If he gives the korban to the God of the Jewish people, if he's going to give a korban to Yoshke, we don't accept it in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the pasuk says, so what does he mean? He can bring a carbon either from a behemoth, from a bakar, or from a tzon. So the behemoth is the carbon that he's donating. So the Gemara has an interpretation. This is not pshut to shal mikra. There's an additional level of interpretation. If the donor, the one who's giving adam ikem, should bring a carbon min a behemoth, the person is like a behemoth. What he means like a behemoth? Behemoth doesn't know from taryag mitzvahs. Behemoth doesn't keep Yiddishkeit. So the person is like a behemoth that he violates averis. Min a behemoth lahavi bin yadim shedaimim le behemoth who do averis. They don't have no commitment to shmiris and mitzvahs. Mikan omru, based on this pasuk, the chachamim established bisman shebeis hamikdash ha'ikayim. Now what's the din? The kablan karbonis min pashi Yisrael. We are permitted to accept karbonis in the beis hamikdash from people who do averis. Why? To encourage them to be makarav people, that maybe they'll be chayzeh b'tshuva. If we'll accept their karbanos, maybe they'll be chayzeh b'tshuva. Chutz ben amumer, there are some people, the three people who are bali avera poshi, so we will not accept their karbanos. So one is a mumer. What is a mumer? What avera did he do? It's unclear. Chutz ben amumer, or menaseh chasayayin, he pours wine for avarizor, oibet avarizor. You can't accept karbanas from these three people. So that's the end of the quotations. And now the Gemara says, but there's an inner contradiction. There's a contradiction, the first line to the last line. Amrit first said, you do not accept karbanas from a mumer. And then the Braisa, it's a Torah's Kohanim, it's a Sifra, and that pasuk, the opening pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, Vahadatani, then it says, Mekabim Karbonis Mepashi, so you do accept Karbonis from Jews who are sinners. So Gemara says, the answer probably is, Holoi Kasha, the answer probably is simple. Reisha, when it says in the first line in the Braisa, Mikem Elo Kulchem Lahotia Samumer, we're not allowed to accept Karbonis from a Jew who violates Averis. That's talking about Mumer L'chala Torah Kula. He violates the majority of the mitzvahs that he's aware of. He doesn't keep any, the roiv of the mitzvahs, he violates. It's set in the middle line in the Braisa, it says, Mekablan Karbonis Mepashi Yisrael. You do accept Karbonis. That's talking about a Mumer L'dever Echad. Fine. So, in other words, the Braisa is taking a stand, the like of Reb Meir. Reb Meir said that even Mumer L'dever Echad is Dinik and Nachri, so we don't accept Reb Meir's opinion. Then the Gemara says, wait a minute, how do you read the last line? Ema say for, what about the last line in the Braisa? Chutz min amumer. There are three people whose karbonis we will not accept. A mumer, one is a balavera, posher, menaseh chasayayin, he pours wine for avodah zarah, mechala shabbos b'fehesi. The Gemara wants to know, hi mumer hechidami, who is this mumer? And the last line, e mumer l'chol ha-torah kula, if it means a person who violates rov dini ha-torah that he's aware of. So he said that in the first line, hi narration. That's what you learned out from the first line. The mumer l'dover echod, that we said earlier that you do accept karbonis from him. So now you tell me you don't accept karbonis from him. So it's a steer. Kashem et cetera. It's a contradiction. So how do you read the last line? Elalav hachikom. The Gemara says, no, you have to read it like this. The last line doesn't say that there are three exceptions to the rule. So the way we have the last line, it says, chutz min amumer kama, menaseh chasayayin kama. Mechal Shabbos Behesi, so the three different people. One is a mumer, one is an Ovid of a Dezor, and one is Mechal Shabbos. There aren't three people. So the Gemara says, no, there are only two people. Achikama, chutz ben hamumer le'naseche sayayin u'lechal Shabbos Behesi. There are only two people on the last line. The mumer of a Dezor, even though it's Dover Echad, that's Dina Kinochri, a mumer l'chal Shabbos Behesi is also Dina Kinochri. Yeah, why is that? So Rashi explains on the base, because observance of Shabbos is for the purpose of our testifying that we subscribe to the story of creation. So our observance of Shabbos is to demonstrate that we believe in the story of creation. That's crucial to believing in God. We believe that God was there before the whole world came into existence. He created the whole world. Yesh Me'ayin. Yeah, that's what it means. I think that's what it means. Same thing. I think so. So the Gemara says, until now we were reading a whole Dalet Amud Beis and Hey Omer Aleph, till we got to this Braisa that there was an Amora Ravonon who claims that even a Muma Lavoy de Zorah is Chitosa Ksheira. But now you have a Beferish Braisa that says that a Muma Lavoy de Zorah is Dina Kenochri. Dina Kenochri, so Shchitas Nochri is Nevela. So the Gemara says, this Braisa is a Teyufta de Ravonon Teyufta. That's the last line on Hamad Aleph. This Braisa comes from the Torah's Kohanim. It's an authentic braisa. So this abgefrekt, abgeschlock by Ravon and said, that's how we pass on halacha, that a mum alavet is zar, even though he only violates one aver and he's observing everything else, is dinik and nochre and shchitos and avelim. Then the more effect on ayikrash. Is that the mocker? That opening pasuk in Chumash v'yikru, odamikem, kiakru korban l'ashem, that's the mocker, Freg de Gemara, may hasam nafke. Isn't that learned out from a different pasuk? It's a drush on a different pasuk. You don't need two psukim to teach the same thing. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, mikre echad yotze lakama taimim. Sometimes you can have more than one level of interpretation in a pasuk, and they're all accepted, all the levels of interpretation are accepted as dinim deraisa, not as asmachtas. You have a pasuk, loisachanem. Very difficult pasuk. Pirush Amil is very difficult. So the Gemara has three levels of interpretation, and all three are accepted. La locha lo sechanim miloshen chein. You shouldn't find chein. You shouldn't favor nachrim. Such a goyish football star, such a gevaldige baseball player, such a gevaldige president we have, out of this world. The Nachrim shouldn't be nice to Chaim Enechim. You shouldn't praise an Achri. You're going to praise an Achri, you're going to start following his ways. If you have heroes, football hero, baseball hero, so the people follow their shtick. So that's one level of interpretation. Then another level of interpretation. You're not permitted to give a matan schinam to an Achri. Not permitted to make so much of a yedidus to give a matana. Then the third level of interpretation is miloshen chanoya. You're not permitted to sell property in Eretz Yisrael to a Nochri, or you're not permitted to rent to a Nochri. Machlag is the Rama and the Ravid. Not even allowed to rent to a Nochri. So you have, and all three are accepted as on the level of the Raisa. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Mika echad yotze lekama taimin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way, word for word, letter for letter, in such a way that any given pasuk can have many levels of interpretation. Shivim Param Later. There are goyish books that are authored by non-Jews that have more than one level of interpretation. The author intended more. He intended one pshuto shel mikra, and then two hidden meanings in the book.
Is that like a lav shebichlolos?
Should be a lav shebichlolos. Yeah, should, that's a debate that whether that should be called a lav shebichlolos. Yeah, that ought to be. Soch la'adam. Also, the Gemara has several levels of interpretation. So the Gemara calls that a lav shebichlolos, right? So the Rambam happens to hold like Reb Lezer Mimitz. The Tosis in Psochem, Daf Chavadala, quotes Reb Lezer Mimitz in the Sefer Yireim. Says the same as the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Lav Shebechlodes, that you don't get Malkus, means have a Pasuk. And it's clear that this is Pshuta Shal Mikra, and the others are additional levels of interpretation. So then, Reb Lezer Mimitz and the Rambam say, you only get Malkus on the Pshuta Shal Mikra. The rest is Torah Shabbat Pei, you don't get Malkus. But if you have a Pasuk, Lo Sechonim, and no one of the three pshatim is more pshuto shel mikra than the other, all three fit in just as well to the pasuk. So then you would, they would hold you get malchus on everything. And other rishonim say no, that is not true. The Ramban holds no. Even if everything is pshuto shel mikra, you still don't get malchus on anything, because in order to get malchus, the aver that you violate has to be similar to losachsam shabedisha, because in the pasuk in Chumash Dvarim. In the other four chumashim, you only dash in a hekesh. If there are two dinim written in the same pasuk, so we assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu two dinim in the same pasuk must be a connection. If you have two dinim in adjacent psukim, that's called smuchim. So that's a machlokes hatanaim in the beginning of Yevamos, but the darshan smuchim are not. So the Gemara sort of comes to the conclusion Chumash Dvarim is heavy with drushes of smuchim. Chumash Dvarim was Moshe Rabbeinu chazring the month before he died, he's chazring the whole Torah Shabbat Peh, and he's saying things by association, one din after the other, this connects with that, but it connects with that. So any two psukim next to each other, you darshan smuchim and chumish dvarim, and in the rest of the four chumashim, basically, you don't darshan smuchim. So we have many, many famous drushes. So one of those drushes is this. The pasuk says, "V'hitzdikwas hatzadik v'hashivas harasha." Bezna has to ascertain who is the rasha. V'hayoyin bin hakos harasha. If he deserves malchus, so the bezna should give him malchus. So the very next pasuk is lo sachsum shar b'disha. You're not allowed to muzzle an animal when it's working with food. So the Gemara says, based on the smuchim and chumish dvarim, we establish the rule that who gets malchus. Only such a balavera, only such a rasha who violate an avera that's similar to the sachsam shabadisha. So the sachsam shabadisha is one pasuk and it means one thing. No additional levels of interpretation. That's it. So that's the shaila. What if you have loisachonim? Three levels of interpretation. You can't really single out that one is a pshut to shalmikra and the others are additional levels of Torah shabalpeh, drushes of Torah shabalpeh. Everything seems to fit into the pshut to shalmikra. So that's a machlekes and rishanim. What's the definition of lav shebichlolus that you don't get malchus?
Would you get? The
Rambam
says that there's only get
a
one lav shebichlolus, only get a
pshut
to
shalmikra.
That's the only one you get malchus on.
Right. The Rambam and Rav Lezer Mitzvah hold that lav shebichlolus means if the pshut to shalmikra is one interpretation, so that you will get malchus, and whatever is additional levels of interpretation of the Torah Shabbat Pen, that you don't get malchus on Torah Shabbat Pen.
How does the Rambam count the Sefer Mitzvahs? Does it count as part of different
lav and the Tariyat Mitzvahs? No, the Rambam says if it's one pasuk, it only counts once. Rambam has a klal. You never count one lav more than once. He attacks the Halachas Gedolos. The Halachas Gedolos counts Loisinov three times. There's an Iser, an Eishes Ish, an Arusa is not allowed to have an affair, an Eishes Ish, an Isua is not allowed to have an affair, and a baskoyin shezinsa, who is married, is over an isa. So they're different onshim. The arusa gets skila, the nesua gets chenik, the baskoyin shezinsa gets reifa. So the halachas gedolos counts. There's three lavim: lasina for the arusa, lasina for the nesua, and lasina for the baskoyin shezinsa. The Rama makes fun of him. He says, "What do you mean? It's one lav lasina, the three different punishments. Just well, the different punishments. That's not a reason to count that as three lavim." So the Rama insists, if there's only one pasuk, there's only one lav. So he gives the example of Losoch Laladam. He said the Gemara has different interpretations. It only counts it once. But then there are four cases we must have spoken about. There are four cases where the Rambam himself counts one pasuk twice. So the Ramban chaps the Rambam and the Achrenim work on it. They give the Tashbetz, gives a teretz on the Rambam. It's a good teretz. It depends in which context. It says from the simple pashtas of the Gemara it would appear from the Chumash you might get the impression that only applies to the Zayin Umas who lived in Eretz Yisrael, wouldn't apply to the French or the Spanish or the Italians or the British, only to the Zayin Umas who lived in Eretz Yisrael. But Taisa says from the simple Mishnayis in the first parak on Avodah Zarah sounds like it applies to all non-Jews even if they're not Avodah Zarah. The one who's permitted to live in Eretz Yisrael is a Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav means if he commits himself in the presence of a bezin of three Jews to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nerech, that he's mechuyev to observe anyway. But if he commits himself in the presence of a bezin of three Jews, then he has the status of a Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav means Imcha Yeshe Bikerbecha, we may allow him to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's why it's called a Ger Toshav. Usually, Leyeshva Biarzacha, Pen Yachti Voischali. But if he commits himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs, then he's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. Ger Toshav has special dinim. There are certain mitzvahs where the Ger Toshav has a special status. So that he's called the Ger Toshav because of this nafkamina, that we're permitted to let him live in Eretz Yisrael. That was the big issue regarding the Heter Mechira for Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to Shnas HaShemitah, so the Rabbanut sells all those farmers who are interested. So the Rabbanut will function as a shliach to sell their farm to an Arab. And on the assumption that the whole din of Shemitah Bizman is only with the Rabbanon, and if you sell a land to a non-Jew, there's certain leniencies. It's not as chomer, it doesn't undo the whole din of Shemitah, but it makes things a little easier. The burden is a little lighter. So the objection was raised, what do you mean? You're worried about Shemitah the Rabbanon, then you go and you violate an Isa Lo Sechonim, an Isa Deraisa. You're running away from a slight aver and you violate a major aver. So many gedolim explain why they think that there's no prohibition. So Rav Kook has a whole sefer about that, Shabbos HaOretz, about the laws of Shemitah. Rav Kook is very machmer. Chazanish didn't like the Heta Mechira. He was opposed to the Heta Mechira, so he had to be Mekel to make life livable. So he's a big Mekel in Hilchah Shmita, because he was a Machmer, and you're not allowed to sell a land to the Arabs. So no one will be able to exist. So he had a Kvetchais, a lot of Kulas. So what's that? That was the basic Kula, that the Sefer Chinuch seems to say, if you sell it to a guy, you're going to get it back, so then there's no prohibitions. Here it's like Mechiras Chams. Everybody knows, I'm selling the land to the Arab, and he's doing me a Toiva. I'm not allowed to do him a Toiva, to give it, to sell land to the guy. Here the guy's doing me a Toiva, that I should be able to for the economy of Medina Sisal to continue to function well. So they all gave Heter. So there are different Kulas why it's Mutter. Amanos Lachsa and so on. So Rav Kook writes that before he became chief rabbi in Yerushalayim, he used to live in Yafo. So he writes that one of the members of his Bezdin, the reason why did he get stuck with the Heta Mechira, because the rabbi before him, he had a rabbanus in Europe, and then the rabbi of Yafo passed away. The rabbi of Yafo was a big Talmud Chacham. He put out the Siddur HaGro, famous Siddur HaGro. So when the rabbi passed away, he said they were looking for a new rabbi, so they invited Rabbi Kook to come. The previous rabbi was the one who supervised the Heta Mechira for the farmers in the late 1800s. So when Rav Kook came later, it's like whoever is the rabbi in the Jewish center has to supervise the Manhattan Erev. Whoever's the rabbi in the Young Israel Flatbush has to supervise the Flatbush Erev. That goes with the job. So this went with the job. Whoever is the rabbi in Yafo has to continue the Heta Mechira. The Heta Mechira started in the 1600s, before Rav Kook was born. And then immediately before he took the Rabbanus, the Rav in Yafo, those who needed a Heta Mechira, so the Badats didn't want to do it, so they said, go to the Rav in Yafo, he's a big tzaddik. So he did it. So Rav Kook had, that was part of his job, he had to do it. So he writes that there was a member of his Bezdin, he tells you by name, the name didn't register by me, I didn't know, I never heard of the name. So he writes in the Sefer Shabbos Oritz, this member of his Bezdin came up with a Chumrah, that instead of selling to a Christian Arab, they should sell to a Muslim Arab. What do you gain? We sell to a Christian, so he's clearly an Oved Avodah Zarah. He worships the Trinity. He worships Osa Ha'ish. So he's not called a Ger Toshav. But the Muslims, in principle, do observe. They do subscribe. I don't know if they observe it, but they officially subscribe to the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. They don't steal. They don't rape women, Mislama. They do. But officially, if they're nice people, so officially they subscribe to the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. So this Talmud Chacham thought that maybe the Muslims have a din of Ger Toshav, so maybe there's no prohibition to sell the land to a Ger Toshav. Maybe it's another tzad, Lahakam. So Rav Kook introduced that when you do the Heta Mechira, you do the Mechira for Shnas HaShmita, next year Shmita, I think. When you sell the land for the Shnas HaShmita, you should sell to a Muslim as opposed to selling to a Christian. So then the Shaila was, well, what do you mean? The Gemara has a din. You can't be Mekabel a Ger Toshav only Bizman Shai Yovel Noig. There's no Yovel Noig now. Every 7th year of Shemitah, we don't count the 50th year, blank year for Yovel. Supposed to count 50, 50, 50, 50. And then the 50th year is blank. 7, 7, 7 times. Then the 50th year is a blank. We don't count blank years. We don't have any Yovel at all today. So Bizman Shai Yovel Noig. The Gemara says there is no Ger Toshav based on a Pasuk and Chumash. So this Talmud Chacham suggested, and Rav Kook said maybe he's right, so they introduced that Chumrah to sell to a Muslim Arab as opposed to selling to a Christian Arab. Then maybe that means if we don't know what he stands for, he has to come, the non-Jew has to come appear in front of a Bezdin of three Jews, has to say, I want to commit myself to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs V'Neinoyach. So the Bezdin is not supposed to accept the Ger Toshav Bezman Sheinei Yevil Noi. But Bezman says, everybody knows, there's no Yevil, but Bezman, everybody knows what the Muslims stand for. Everybody knows the Muslims subscribe to the Sheva Mitzvah V'Neinoyach. So maybe they have the status of a Ger Toshav, maybe they don't even need a Kabbalah. Maybe it's not necessary to have a Kabbalah. And not that the Gemara meant to say Ger Toshav doesn't exist Bezman Sheinei Yevil Noi. The Gemara's lashon is, it can't be Mekabel Ger Toshav. So he suggested, this Talmud Chacham suggested, maybe you don't have to be Mekabel Ger Toshav if he's a Muslim. He's like a Mekubel V'yayman, everybody knows. But then Rav Kook got into trouble with that, because we know that Te'eska Nochri, to do a Malach on Shabbos, is an Isa de Rabbanon, Amir of the Nochri. So because it's only the Rabbanon, so you have a whole list of Kulas. And everybody in your uncle has a Shabbos guy. It's not right. We misuse the Heterim. But we have a Shabbos guy to turn on lights in the shul, to turn off the lights in the shul, whatever. We have all the time a Shabbos guy, does a lot of malachas. What is it based on? there's an Issa Deraisa. If you ask a Ger Toshev to do a malacha for you, that's an Issa Deraisa. That's an Aseres Adibus. So it's called Saska Malacha Atavincha Vehemtacha, the Gercha Hashem Bisharecha. So who is Gercha? Gercha means a Ger. If he's a Ger, he's Atta. Atta is not only the Jews who are present at Har Sinai. Atta relates to all the Jews by all the future generations. Whoever is Jewish is Atta. So the Gemara understands Gercha Hashem Bisharecha refers to a Ger Toshev. What do you mean a Ger Toshev? An Isaac Ger Toshev observes Shabbos. So Rashi writes in one place, yeah, in Yevamos, Rashi said, yeah, Ger Toshev has to observe Shabbos. So Tosfos says, there wasn't a Tana who was of the opinion like that, but we don't accept that opinion. Increases. Machlek is Hatanoin. On Daf Tesem, and obviously we don't accept that. We pass going to Ger Toshev is not permitted to observe Shabbos. So what do you mean, Lasaska Hamalocha, Ger Chashe B'Sharecha? The Tosfos says, Amira le Ger Toshev, to ask a Ger Toshev to do a Malocha for me, that's an Issa Deraisa. So Rav Kook says, wait a minute, we just introduced a Chumrah, that instead of selling the land to a Christian Arab, we should sell it to a Muslim Arab. Why? Because the Muslim have a din of Ger Toshev, so you can't use a Muslim Arab as a Shabbos guy. Everybody uses a Muslim Arab as a Shabbos guy. You have to be medactic to use dafke, a Christian Arab. Nay maisa, if a doyre doyres, everybody uses that. So it kvetches a shvere tshuva. Most of the tshuvas, someone, one time a chacham told me, he looked through many of the tshuvas of Rav Kook. I hardly read any of them. He looked through many of the tshuvas, he says, they're all classical, standard, beautiful style, except for this one. This one is so doichik. So Rav Kook kvetches, he says, no, he's a ger toshev and a ger to layeshu b'artzecha, about the, not, to let him live in Eretz, but he's not a ger toshev and a ger to Shabbos. So he gives a shvacha distinction. No, no. That's a shvere word. That's a shvera. Okay, so Nachama, so what's the Gemara's kasha now? The Gemara asks on the last line on Hamad Al, going on with the Hamad base. V'homei hachanafke, this din, that if a person is a mumer, l'roiv dini ator, a person is a mumer, l'abed azor, you're not permitted to accept any korbanos for him. So the first paragraph in the Torah's Kohanim says it's based on the opening pasuk and vayikra, the very second pasuk. That's by Korban Oila. Freg the Gemara, no, but the other Tana learns it out from a totally different pasuk. Mehasa nafke, from a different pasuk. It says, if a person sins, me'am ha'aretz. If a plain balabos sins, the din is if the Kain Gadol is Mechal Shabbos b'shoigeg, he has to bring a par Kain Gadol, a special chatos. And if the Nasi, if the Melech, is Mechal Shabbos b'shoigeg, he has to bring a Soyer Nasi. But if a plain person, Me'am Horetz, a plain layman, is Mechal Shabbos b'shoigeg, or it's Chayla B'dam b'shoigeg, one who violates an Aver b'shoigeg, which if he would have violated Aver b'mezit, would have been Chayv Kores, so if you violate b'shoigeg, you're Chayv Chatos. So it says, Nefesh Me'am Horetz, Me'am Horetz is a Mem, again a Miut. Me'am Horetz, not the whole Amoretz, Prat L'mumer. If the fellow is a mumer, then you can't accept karbonis from him. So why do you need two psukim? You just said before, nefesh, mikem, v'loy kulchem, and now it's me'am ha'aretz, v'loy kol ha'aretz. A mem over there, and a mem, why do you need two psukim? We'll leave out temporarily, we'll leave out a few lines. Take a look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the seventh line. And for the Gemara, the second word, after the line that begins with the word Benayu. And for the Gemara, no, I need two psukim. Chada b'chatos v'chada me'oila. The first pasuk is talking about oila. The opening pasuk in Vayikra, chapter Aleph, Adam mekem ki'akra karban Hashem, that's about a karban oila. And this pasuk is chatos. Nefesh achas me'am horas basos achas b'kol mitzvah Hashem. Me'am horas means he's not a kangol, and he's not the melech, and a layman who violates an avera. So this pasuk is talking about achatos. I need two different psukim that you don't accept karbonis. Chada b'chatos v'chada b'yoyla. Why do you need two psukim? Let it be sufficient. Want to learn with a mamatzino? The Gemara says no. Wutzrichi. No, you couldn't derive a mamatzino. If it would only be written in one, you wouldn't know the other one. If it would only be written in the second one, you would know the first one. Why? Di yashmina achatos. If you'd only have the drasha from the second parsha, with the second parsha, Vayikra where? Vayikra vav. Vayikra. Ikra Dalit, yeah. If you'd only have the second parsha, so I would think it's only by Chatos. The guy doesn't deserve to get a kapara. He's a mumer. Dina ka'akum. He doesn't deserve a kapara. Aval Ola, but a carbon oil in the beginning, chapter Aleph in Vayikra, the Doron, who it's a matana, aim a kalvamay. Wants to give a donation, cash, I just give a donation of carbon, so why not accept it? If he yashmin an oila, and if he would have only the pasuk by oila, I would have said fakir. Mishum dalav chiyubu, you're not mechuyev. No one is mechuyev to give, and you're not mechuyev to accept, so don't accept. Is dina kakam, don't accept. But a chatos is mechuyev to bring. Avo chatos, the chiyubu, a carbon chatos, you're mechuyev to bring. Just because the guy is a dina kakam, let's say he worships Avod Azar is dina kakum, but he keeps Shabbos and Kashrus and Taurus and Mishpacha and Sheikh Slulov, like Tzvil and everything. He goes to Shul every day, but he also goes to church in addition. So I would have thought, just because he does Avod Azar, so we should tell him, we're not going to let you do this mitzvah. He's mechuyev to bring achatas. He was Mechal Shabbos b'shoygeg. I would have thought mechuyev to bring achatas. Just because he does one Avod, the Rambam writes like that. That, let's say, the Kohen who goes up to Duchen is a Bal Avera, a gangster. If he's a murderer, so you don't let him duchen. If he killed someone, you don't let him duchen. But what if he's a gangster? What if he's a ganef? What if he eats treifus? So the Rambam says, other averes don't passel you from duchening. Like, what value is his bracha? Achsidus Rebbe gita bracha. The Rebbe we assume is a tzaddik. This guy is a nice wurf. What good is his bracha? So the Rambam says, no. Samishmel ben Yisrael vani avorchem. It's not his bracha. He says the words. I give the bracha. The Baruch Shalom gives the bracha. He has no koyach to give a bracha. So the Rambam says, if the koyin is a murderer, or the koyin killed someone, a murderer, then you don't let him duchen. But any other avera, just because he did one avera, so you shouldn't let him do another mitzvah. You should make him do another avera. You encourage him that he should go to duchen. So the same over here, the Gemara says. If you would only have the pasuk by oila, that if a person is a mumer, lavodizor, you don't accept the korban, I would have thought, the lav chiyuvahu. He's not mechuyev to give, we're not mechuyev to accept this. Tell him you don't accept your matana. You don't deserve to give a donation. But achatas is mechuyev to bring. He was mechal Shabbos b'shegig. He does observe Shabbos, and it was a mistake over here, he was mechal Shabbos. I would have thought, Ema, I would have said, lekabla minei. I should accept the korban chatas, he's mechuyev to bring it. That's why the Gemara says tzricha. That's why I need the two psukim, both by oil and by chatos, that you can't accept the korban of a mumer labadizar. So now we left out a little bit from the brisa, going back to the top line. So the Gemara quotes the full brisa in the Torah's Kohanim and reads, the first Tana learns it at me'am ha'aretz, the mem is a miyut, miktsas, some yes and some no, pratul mumer. Reb Shimon bin Yosi Omer Mishum Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, the one who wrote the Zohar, the one who's hiding in the cave from the Romans. So this Reb Shimon bin Yosi quotes in the name of Reb Shimon the same idea but based on a different pasuk. If the fellow is a mumer, we would not accept the korban chatzos from him because of the following reason: Asher lo si asena bishgoga v'yashem. If the person did an aver b'shoigeg, and if he would have realized that it's not permissible, he wouldn't have done the Avera. So then he's obligated to bring a Korban Chata. So that's only Ashov mi diyosai, maybe Korban Ashigigosa. The only time you are obligated to bring a Korban if you violate an Aver B'shegig is if you would have been Shov mi diyosai. How do you translate this? So Rashi has two translations, Pasha. How do you translate? Ashov means he does tshuva. Let's say the fellow is Machal Shabbos. Say like this. The guy never keeps Shabbos. He always violates Shabbos. And then, but he carries in the street and he does business, violates everything. But he never knew, chveis, that tying a knot is a malacha. Never heard of that malacha. Then when he finds that, then he ties a knot on Shabbos. And if he would have told him that tying a knot is a malacha, Shabbos doesn't mean anything to him anyway. He doesn't keep Shabbos anyway. But he tied the knot b'shegig. He didn't realize that he was doing an aver. So that's not called shav midiyosa. Shav midiyosa means when I find out that I did an aver, I do tshuva right away. I feel charota. I feel bad about it. A shav midiyosa, when he has the idea that he did the aver, he does tshuva. So one way to translate the word shav is he's choyze b'tshuva because of his knowledge afterwards. Another way Rashi quotes to translate hashav means hayoshev midiyosa. If we would have told him beforehand, don't tie a knot, because tying a knot is zechadah malacha. So he would not sit down, he would not act b'shevi al tasa, he would not refrain from tying the knot. He runs business as usual. He drives his car to work on Shabbos, he writes and he races and he makes deposits in the bank. He does everything on Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't mean anything to him. So he wouldn't have refrained. Shav midiyasa means, would he refrain from having done the avera if he would have known in advance? Midiyasa, would he refrain from doing the avera if he knew in advance? And the other translation, Shav midiyasa, was he chayze b'tshuva when he heard about it? We're talking like this. The guy's always machal Shabbos. He never knew that tying a knot is a malacha. Then, if we would have told him in advance, he would have tied the knot anyway. He would have laughed at us. He doesn't keep anything. And then, after he ties the knot, we tell him, "Oy, gevald, you're just machal Shabbos b'shegig. The whole thing is a joke." And then he becomes a baal tshuva 5 years later. And now he's very concerned. "Oy, gevald, I once tied a knot b'shegig." All the time he drove to shul, all the time he drove to work, and he signed. That was b'mezid. You can't bring a carbon. But once he remembered his machal Shabbos b'sheigeg, so can he bring a carbon chatas for that? So that's what the Tana says. No, that's not a shav midiyasa. He wouldn't have refrained if he would have told him in advance. He would not have refrained. And when he found out about it later, when we told him tying a knot is a malacha, it didn't mean anything. It didn't. He didn't have pangs of guilt. He didn't do tshuva right away. So the first Tana says we need a pasuk to say me'am ha'aretz prat l'mumer. If the fellow is a mumer, we don't accept a chatas from him. The second Tana says I don't need me'am ha'aretz. I learn it from a different pasuk of hashav midiyosa shelos hasan b'shgog of yashem. If the fellow is not a hashav midiyosa, he doesn't bring a korban. V'aminon, and we had a comment. What's the difference? Would he darshan like the first Tana, Tana Kama in the Sifra, or like the second Tana? My Benayu, is there any difference between the two psukim? They're both saying the same thing. Reb Shimon and Tana Kama both saying the fellow is a mumer, you don't accept the carbon chatas from him. The Omer Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna said, yeah, there is a major difference between the two Tanoim. What if the fellow is a mumer, lechel chelev, the heavy carbon al adam, ika Benayu? What does that mean? Let's say you're not allowed to eat chelev, you're not allowed to eat dam. Both are forbidden. Whoever eats chelev is chayv kares, whoever eats dam is chayv kares. So if a person violates chelev, b'shoygig is chayv to bring a chatas. Let's say he went to a kosher restaurant, he thought it was kosher. Then it comes out later. The waiter runs out after the fellow finishes eating and says, "Gevald, I forgot. We gave you a steak. We forgot to cut out the chelev." I say, "You ate everything up on the plate." It means that you ate kazai's chelev. So he ate it b'shoygig. So if you eat chelev b'shoygig, you chayv chatas. If you eat dam b'shoygig, you chayv chatas. What if he's on one of them? He always eats chelev. He enjoys chelev, healthy, whatever. Dam he would never eat. Other averis, the chametz pesach he never eat. He always fasts on Yom Kippur. The other averis that of course he would never violate. Shabbos he would never violate. The chelev he always violates. So what's the din? Mumer lecha chelev. He never observed the mitzvah of chelev, and he violated dam b'shoygig. So the Gemara says that'll be the difference between the Tanakam and Reb Shimon. And in what way is this the difference? How is this a difference? What does Rashi say? Litanakam, Rashi writes, a heavy korban al adam. Sheshogag bo, he ate the dam b'shogig, dam he would never want to eat. V'ilo hoya deo shehu dam, if he knew in advance that this is dam, lo hoya ochlo. Litanakam, mumashmo. Since he's always eating chelev, so the guy is a shegetz, he eats chelev and mezid, so he's a mummer, so he cannot even accept the carbon for him on dam. We'll let mekabel in a minute, but according to Reb Shimon ben Yosef b'shem Reb Shimon, he would have been shav midiyasa if he would have told him in advance, don't eat the steak, it has chelev. He said, "Gevald, I never eat chelev." Or if we told him afterwards, "You just ate chelev and shegetz," he would say, "I didn't want to eat chelev." It would be shav midiyasa. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara. Taisus says that this is a pella. What Rashi says is a pella. That's a mumla davar echad. Mumlacha chelev ochal dam. That's a mumla davar echad. We don't paskin like Rav Meir. We paskin mumla davar echad. It's not called, not a dina kakam. It's not called a mumla chalatar kul. So what's pshat in this Gemara? The Gemara is a pella. So Taisus suggests two possibilities. So one possibility they have is based on the Loshon HaGemara. The Gemara talks about chatas chelev as opposed to chatas nachshon. When they completed the building of the Mishkan in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, so there was Shivas Imam Eloim the last 7 days in Chodesh Ador, and starting from the Shmini Lemiluim, the eighth day after the Shivas Imam Eloim was Chodesh Nissen, and starting from the Chodesh Nissen, the first 12 days, the Nisiyim of each of the 12 Shvatim brought karbanos. So Nachshon Aminadab was the first Nasi from Shevet Yehuda. He brought on the first day, and all the other Nisim brought. And they all brought exactly the same karbonos. And one of the karbonos that each one of them brought is called Chatas Nachshon. He was the first one who brought. But each one brought the exact same karbonos. That's the Kriyas HaTorah for Chanukah. Now, one of the karbonos was the Korban Chatas. A Korban Chatas you bring if you violated an Aver B'Shoigig, which if you would have done it, amazing, Yechayiv Koris. What Aver did Nachshon Ben Amin Odov do? Each one of the 12 Nisim did something for which they were Chayiv Koris. What's going on? So Gemara says, no, this is a chatas nachshon. This is a different animal. This is not a normal, it's an irregular chatas. It was a hayra shor. Once in the history of the world, the chatas that you bring on Rosh Chodesh is also mechaper. The Mishnah says in Shavuos, what Avera says is mechaper. The chatas that you bring on every yontif and chalamoyed, everything is mechaper on Tumas Migdash for Kadoshim. Shabbos, there's no chatas. Shabbos, the Ribbono Shel Olam is pure ahava. We say, how do you say in the davening? So in Yantav Chalias B'Shabbos say Bi'ahava twice. It's important. What do you say Bi'ahava twice? You start off Atitin Lan Hashem L'Kena Bi'ahava. So Rav Soloveitchik explained from some of the Rishayim, this is not the famous Pshat in Shulchan Aruch, said Bi'ahava twice, Bi'ahava square, and Shabbos. On the other Yamim Tavin Rabban Shalom shows that he loves us, but he waves his finger, he says, don't forget Kindalach, you did Averis and you need a Kapara. You have to bring a Chatas. It's Ahava, but it's Tochocha also. On Shabbos, there's no Chatas. It's Ahava square. The Rabban Shalom tells us to bring Oilos, no Chatas. He doesn't even remind us that we need Kapor for having violated Averis. But on the other Yom Tovim and on Rosh Chodesh, and bring Achat, the Chatas is always a Kapor.
Shavuos doesn't say Chatas.
There's no Chatas? No. But that's what it is. It is a Chatas. Yeah, the word maybe Chatas Lashem, maybe it doesn't say Chatas Lashem. The Medrash talks about the Lashon is a little different, but it's still a Chatas. The same as a Chatas on Pesach and on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. The same Chatas, also Mechaper. The Sira Harigola Maror Mechaper on Tumas Migdash VeKadosha. Yeah.
So when one brings a Chatas, one is required to say Vidui on the Chatas. If he's a mumor for this avera, how is he going to say Vidui? How can he bring the Chatas?
Yeah. So we're talking about a case. When the fellow tied the knot on Shabbos, if he would have told him in advance, don't tie the knot on Shabbos, he would live with us. He drives to work, he does all the malach.
But here in this case,
he would talk 5 years later. He would talk, yeah.
With the chalav and the dam, we want him to allow to bring a chatas on the chalav as well.
One of them he violates all the time. Right. So that he can't bring a chatas on that. He's a mumer on that. What if he violates the other one? Dam he never eats. A chalav he always eats. And if he would have known that it's dam, he wouldn't have eaten it. And then he went ahead and he ate dam b'shoigeg. So does he bring a chatas? So the Gemara says it'll depend on which drasha. So if you're like the first Tana, Reb Shimon, he's a mummer because he eats chalav all the time. And if you're like the second Tana, he would bring a carbon because he is shabmi diyosai. He feels bad that he ate dam b'shoigeg. So Tais says, but that's not called a mummer. Muna davrechad is not called a mummer. So he should, according to the Tanakhama also, he should be able to bring the chatas. So the Rabbeinu Tam Tosfos gives two answers. So one answer is, chatas does mean, chalev does mean chalev. The Gemara has an expression, chatas nachshon, as opposed to chatas chalev. Chatas chalev means a normal, regular chatas that's bol chaper on some aveira or another, eating on Yom Kippur b'shogig, even eating chametz b'pesach b'shogig, doing balochet b'shabbos b'shogig, eating chalav dam, a lot of things. All of the averis that if you violate b'mezig, yechayiv koris, if you violate b'shogeg, yechayiv chatas. All of those are called chatas chalav. The chatas bo lechaper on an avera. You have to say vidui, otherwise the chatas will not accomplish kapor, like I said, you need vidui. Chatas nachshon has not, it's a korban. You do the avoda the same. You have to sprinkle the dam on all four corners, and the kohanim have to eat it. Yom v'layla ad chatzos, but it's not a chatas lechapara. It's not to be mechapara in any avera. It's just it's a chatas that's really an adova. So Tosfos says when the Gemara says mumar lecha chelav a heavy carbon al adam, the word chelav means the same connotation that means chatas chel. Means he violates roiv mitzvah satora. Dam he doesn't eat, but roiv of the averis he does violate. So the Tanakhama said, dam, he likes the Jewish religion, he's not allowed to eat dam, because he finds it annoying, finds it disgusting. So he's very makbid about dam. But all the other mitzvahs he doesn't observe. So according to the Tanakhama, once a mumah l'rav dina Torah is mumah dina kakum, so he can't accept the korban. But according to Reb Shimon ben Yosef, b'shem Reb Shimon, he is shav midiyosai. If he would have known that this is dam, he would have not have eaten it. And as soon as the minute he found out that he ate dam, he feels very bad. He is shav midiyosai. That's the one pshat that Tosfos says, that when it says mumah lecha chelev, v'hevi korban al adam, it doesn't mean chelev alone. Mumah lecha chelev is a mumah ledavar echad. It's not dinakak, means mumah l'raiv dini ha-Torah. Where do you have such a connotation? No, the Gemara says chatas chelev. Just like the Gemara there, it's not the same. Chatas chelev is an expression in the Gemara, another mesichtas. Chatas chelev means a chatas that's bol achaper on an aver chorus. Here Tosfos says the word chelev means kol ha-Torah kulam. It's a little bit doichy. Then Tosfos gives another pshat, also a little bit, both pshatim are a little difficult. Tosfos gives a second pshat. Chelev adam are always put in the chumash together in the same pasuk. And they're based on the same prohibition. Both the chelev and the dam are designated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you bring a korban, you're supposed to be zorg the dam on the mizbech. You're supposed to burn the chelev on the haktaris emurim on the mizbech. So it's basically the same prohibition. Chelev and dam is so similar and always appears together in chumash, and the same punishment, of course. So that's what the Gemara says. He's a mumalech chelev. He's not a mumalech alatarakula. He's a mumalech chelev, a heavy korban al adam. So if you say like the second Tana, Shav Midiyosa, he is Shav Midiyosa. If we would have told him in advance, don't eat it, it's dumb, he wouldn't eat it. We told him after he ate it, you did an Avera, he feels bad. He's Shav Midiyosa. But if you hold like the first Tana, you can't accept the garment from a Mumer. So one who violates Chelev is considered a Mumer Lo'isa Dover. A Mumer Lo'dover Echad is not a Mumer Lo'chalatar Kula, but Lo'isa Dover, he is called a Mumer. Lo'isa Dover, he is called a Mumer. So chelev adam is one parsha, it's one pasuk in the chumash. So one is a mumah lech chelev, is a mumah lech adam also, because it's based on the same prohibition. That's the Ramo has that chiddush in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramo in Hilchas Milah says you're not allowed to have a non-Jew perform a bris milah. What if you have? So the Gemara has two different reasons why not. The Masechah Sabedizor. The Gemara says one machlekes amarayim. The Gemara quotes a brayse, so you shouldn't permit a non-Jew to perform a bris milah. A non-Jewish male. And one opinion in Gemara, because he's not Jewish, you have to have a Ben Bris. You have to have someone who belongs to the Jewish religion. According to the other reason, you have to have a person who has a shaychus with the mitzvah milah. Nafkamin is with a woman. Let's say there's a Jewish woman. So Jewish women don't have a bris milah, but they bris, they belong to the Jewish religion. So that's a machlekes amarayim, whether a woman is ksher olam or not. By the Yekes in Washington Heights, when there's a bris, so they say, they don't say Harachman like everybody else says. They have a different piyut that they recite in the middle of Neidelchal Brischosh and Chasamta Bivsarenu. So they have a long, elaborate piyut in the middle of Bracha Neidelchal Brischosh and Chasamta Bivsarenu. So they run through all of Hilchas Mila in a piyut. So one of the Hilchas Mila that they say is that a woman can serve as a mohelet. In Shulchan Aruch, they quoted the Machlokes out of Paskin. And we avoid it unless it's mamash shas atchat, unless it's the yom hashmini, you don't have a man to do the bris milah, so then we would permit the Jewish woman to perform the bris milah. But otherwise, we wouldn't perform.
Tzipora.
Yeah, the Gemara, yes, doesn't it? Isn't it perish and passing a chumash? It says that Tzipora was mal hasan. The Gemara says no. One can interpret the pasuk to mean Tzipora got a Jewish man to do the bris milah. That's how the Gemara suggests. So we pass on the ikra, then we pass on a woman is ksheva lomo. That's why b'shas atchak we allow it. But because there was a minority opinion to pass on the other way, that isha psula lomo, so that's why, out of respect for that opinion, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should avoid it. We live in a generation where people don't have respect for anybody else's opinion. So a few years ago, the New York Board of Rabbis, I don't think they exist anymore, New York Board of Rabbis approved around 7 or 8 women to perform bris milah. New York City, there's no shas hatchak. We have a lot of men performing bris milas. So that was a big pirtza. In Shulchan Aruch, it says you shouldn't permit it. Shulchan Aruch, it says that lachatchila, we have machmer for that opinion. Out of respect for this minority opinion, the choshesh lahachmer. Yeah. So the Ramo says, a non-Jew may not perform a bris milah. What if there's a Jew who's a meshumid, also shouldn't perform? A Jew who converted to a different religion, Meshumad Dina Kanachri, Zayvet Avizar Dina Kanachri, shouldn't perform the bris milah. What if there's a Jew who doesn't have a bris mila, he doesn't believe in bris mila, he doesn't want to be mal his children, he doesn't hold for the whole thing. But he's a good doctor, and you're stuck, and he's the only one who can do the bris mila. So would that be acceptable? So the Rama says that a mumer le orlus is dina ka'akam le gabi mila. A mumalar is not dina ka'akam for cholat tarakula, but mumalar elus is dina ka'akam and get to that din. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam and Tesis learns like that. Mumalach chela the hedi korban al adam. We treat chela and dam as if it's one and the same din. So whoever is a mumalach chela is dina kamumer even legabi dam. Mumalach davrecher is kakam lo isa dover. So according to the Tanakhama, there's a din of mumer. You can't accept the korban from a mumer. So even mumalach chela the hedi korban al adam, he wouldn't accept it. According to Reb Shimon, there is no such din. You don't accept from a mumer. It all depends. Is he shav me diosa? Is he not shav me diosa? Apikiris, they don't believe in Torah and Hashemayim. Some of them don't believe in God. Some of the Reformed rabbis don't believe in God. Is that a question? They don't believe in Torah and Hashemayim.
Communities that mile for the whole town is the conservative.
Right, right.
He prides himself as a
mile. Right. So it depends. Some of the conservatives are not such Bali Shita. Not that the real conservative position is they don't believe in Torah and Hashemayim. So if he's really a hard, a real conservative moil, so he's an apikoros dina kakam, but they probably don't know that. They don't know that. They just think that their life is easier that way. They're just mezalzel and nishmiris amitzis. Yeah, every time we have cases like that. A person comes to be megayer, he thought he was Jewish. His father was Jewish, mother was not Jewish, and they did a bris for him. When he was 8 days old, they did a bris. And then they come to the yeshiva, and they want to be Megayer later on when they realize that they're not Jewish. So the Shabbos that you have to repeat, if a goy did the circumcision on a Jewish baby, and then a goy did a circumcision on a Jewish baby, so the halacha requires a tofes dam bris. You have to cut a little bit later on when you realize. So if a non-Jewish person had a circumcision done, even by Jew, but it wasn't done l'shem mitzvah, it wasn't done l'shem gerus, so you have to do atavas namriz. Here, the mila was done l'shem mitzvah. It wasn't done l'shem geiris. The parents thought the kid was Jewish because the father was Jewish. So we're mekel on that. If the mila was done by Jewish moil, l'shem mitzvah's mila, but it wasn't done l'shem geiris. The moil didn't realize that the kid was a non-Jew. He didn't realize that he's doing a geiris. So we're mekel on that. That's a big machlok. We're mekel on that. There's no need to do atavas namriz again. Yeah, but that's only if the mila was done l'shem mitzvah by a Jewish male. But if the mila was done by an apikoris, apikoris dina kakum, that's a problem. So most of the time, they always have to make an investigation. Who was the moel? Who was the conservative or the reform moel who did the bris, who did the circumcision on the baby? Sometimes. Yeah. American Shilas.
Does it matter that they didn't do the
Mitzitza
and Priya, that they did the
Mila
properly?
Yeah, the Mitzitza is not Miyake. We assume the Mitzitza is only for medical purposes. The Priya they have to do. If they didn't do the Priya, that's Ma'ake. That's a Mishnah, Movel or Para. When you do the Bris Milos, you have to cut off not only the thick orhoil, you have to cut off the thinner membrane as well. You have to cut off both. So that the cutting off the thick skin is called Milo. Cutting off the thinner membrane is called the priya. So you have to cut off both. Yeah, that's ma'akev. That's ma'akev. So the Ramah writes like that, that if you have a Jew who is a mumer la'reilus, he doesn't want to perform mila on his children, he doesn't want to be mal himself, he never had a bris, he doesn't believe in bris mila, doesn't offer the whole thing. So the Ramah writes that is dina ka'akum. So that's a shayla. And Rabbi Kiveger quotes the Vilna Gaon. That's unusual. Rabbi Kiveger, the Vilna Gaon Sefer was just printed a few years before. Vilna Gaon died the late 1700s. Rabbi Kiveger lived the early 1800s. So once in a Yovel, Rabbi Kiveger quotes, once in a long while, Rabbi Kiveger quotes the Vilna Gaon. So he says, the Vilna Gaon shows that the Balei Atosis don't agree with this Ramah, that a Mumal Adabrech and a Mumal Arelus can't perform the Bris Mila. Rav Soloveitchik once said, he discussed with his father, what's the din taka in this case? I remember once one of the boys one of my classmates from Smicha was a chaplain in the Philippines, and then his wife had a baby boy, and they had to have a bris milah. So the only moil was the army, the Jewish doctor in the army, who didn't observe anything. He wasn't the Shem Shabbos at all, didn't keep anything. So you can't say Mumel Chal Shabbos Befrehesia. It's not Befrehesia. None of them were Shem Shabbos over there. But he was a Mumel Arovdi and Atera. It didn't keep Shabbos, Kashmir, Taras, Hamashpacha, anything. Didn't keep anything. Mumel Arovdi and Atera is Dina Kakum. So the Shaila was, can he perform the Bris Milah? So this friend of mine sent me, this was a long time ago, that boy who had the Bris Milah is now a prominent rabbi in the New York area, Zera from a rabbi. So a big machmer and everything. So I guess the bris was a kosher bris. So the shaila was, what should he do? Should he have the bris then on the Yom HaShmini with the absolutely non-observant moil, or should he wait till he comes back to civilization? So Rav Soloveitchik said he worked out with his father the following compromise, that if the parents are not too observant, it better be mekel to do the bris on the eighth day with the non-religious doctor, because otherwise they may not want to do the bris later. When the child will be older, it's going to be more painful. May not want to do the bris. But he said, if the parents, I'm a doctor, give me mitzvahs. Like here, the boy was a musmuch, the father of the baby was a musmuch from the yeshiva. And the mother was going to mikveh in the ocean over there. She was always afraid the sharks are going to bite her. So she used to wear a loose bathrobe, as if the sharks are not going to bite through the bathroom. So she's always tefillin in the ocean wearing a bathrobe. She's afraid the sharks are going to bite her. So he was a religious guy. So Rav Soloveitchik said, you should wait till he comes back to civilization. You should do the bris when the baby is a year old. But he said, if the parents are not that observant and there's a concern, they may not want to perform the bris milela. So he said, b'shas hatchak, you rely on the Vilna Gaon, or Rabbi Kevegan, the Vilna Gaon, that you have the non-observant Jew do the bris milela. You have the Mechal Shabbos do the bris milah. Yeah. Here in America, they tell that story about the guy was in Oshkosh, and his wife had a baby boy, and the only one who could do a bris milah on the eighth day was a Jew who became a meshumet, who became a galach. He was the only one who could do the bris milah. So he had a shaila, what should he do? So the paskim mishas hatchak, he should do the bris milah, would have the galach do the bris milah. So the baby grew up, everything was fine, but every night when the baby said Kriyash Malamita, instead of saying Hamalach HaGol, he used to say HaGalach HaMoel. So that story is not, that's not proper. A Jew who is a Shumad Lavad is Zara, you shouldn't let him do the Bris Mila. So the Gemara explained why you need Tupsu. Then the Gemara is going to comment now on the first brisa from the Torah's Kohanim. They said, Mikem alo kuchem, and then they said, Min ha-behema. Bashab shat on Hei Omed Aleph, on the third wide line. Min ha-behema means the korban is going to be Min ha-behema mirabakam and atzon. Takriva is korbanchem. You can bring a korban oil, either behema, bakar, atzon. There's oil soif also. That's the next parsha. Other soif. But the first parsha is either Min ha-behema mirabakam and atzon. So Min ha-behema, the pshutu shal mikru goes, the korban is going to be a behema. So the Torah's Kohanim is giving a drush of the Torah Shabbat Peh, clearly not the Pshuta Shal Mikra. Mikem min ha-behema, the person who's bringing the carbon is Ashtik Behema. Why is Ashtik Behema? He acts like a Behema, he's a Poshe Yisrael. He does Aver. So the Gemara says, you're interpreting in this drush, you're interpreting about a Behema, Ligriyusa, that there's something wrong with the person. He acts like a Behema, he's a Bal Aver. Freg the Gemara, the Kasha over here, about 10 lines from the top, around 12 lines from the top. The line that on Hey Amid Beis, the line that begins with the word Sricha. So then the Gemara says, V'chol hecha dechsid behema. Every time there's a post in the Chumash and it says behema, is it griyusahu? He's saying that it goes on a person who acts like a behema, that he's a balavera, he's a posha Yisrael. Freg the Gemara, v'choksiv, you have a post in Tilim, Odom behema toshi Hashem. What do you mean? The behemoths need a Yeshua? What is there, an epidemic by the behemoths? They're getting sick? No. The Omer Rab Yud Omer Rav, Rav made a comment. What does it mean? Adam of Hema. Doesn't mean a Yeshua for the baby. Yeshua is for Adam. Elu b'ni Adam shehema rumim b'das. They're intelligent human beings, but they act like behemoths. We suspend our sechel when it comes to mitzvah satar. I don't decide. I like this mitzvah. I'm going to do it. That mitzvah, I don't think that makes any sense. I'm not going to do that. We're intelligent people. Arumim b'das. We have sechel. But we act like behemoths when it comes to the mitzvah. Baruch Shalom Gehesti. I got to keep the mitzvah. You got to keep the mitzvah. So you see that the words behema appears, and you made out of it a maila, a positive description of the person. Here you use the word behema to say it's a negative description of the person. Who act like behemoths, the Bali Averis. And for the Gemara, that there's a difference. Hasim the pasuk in Tehillim and Tzidkos Chodem, remember to Shia Hashem, Hasim Ksip Odom Ubehema. So it means Bnei Odom, who are human beings, intelligent, and they suspend their decision. They have Bechir Chavshitz, do Averis, and they don't. And Nimshach after the Rabban Shalom, whatever he says goes. Abahacha, here it says Behema Luchu Deksit. Here it says Menapema, Menabaka Menatzon. It doesn't say Odom Behema. So Behema is not. Behema here is Ligriyus. Behema here is Ligriyus. Freg di Gemara, is that Teretz correct? B'chalecha dichsiv Odom Behema, whenever it says both together. Then you're going to tell me it means Mal Yusahi. Then it's Bnei Odom Harumim Medasim, Mesimim Matzman Ke Behema. It's a Maila. Freg di Gemara, B'chaksiv. The Novi says, V'zeratis Beis Yisrael, the Jewish people will have a lot of children. Zera Odom V'zera Behema. The observant Jews will have a lot of children, and the non-observant Jews will have a lot of children. So Zerah, that means those who are mentioned, they keep it. And Zer Behema, the Jews who are Bali Avera will have children also. So there it says Odom, and it says Behema, and the Pshat and the Pasi means Zer Behema means the Jews who are not observant. And you don't say, no, it goes on the very super religious Jews. The Pasi is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to bless the Jewish people. They'll all be fruitful and multiply. They'll all have a lot of children. Rashi writes, the Pshat and the Pasuk is, Kloimer, Hachachomim v'Haburim, the intelligent Jews and the non-observant Jews, Kulam Ezraim, Lefroisam, Lirvoisam, Kodesh Baruch Hu will see to it that all the Jewish people will be fruitful and multiply. So why don't you say over there, since there's Odom Ebhema, so it doesn't go on the Burim, it goes on a very frum Yidin, very intelligent Yidin, everything in my name. It says there, Zera Odom v'Zera Behema. Here in this pasuk in Tzidkoscha, it says Odom v'Behema, together. Odom v'Behema means Lemal Yusa. Hele b'ni Odom, Sharim v'Bedasim, Sima Matzim k'Behema. But here, it says separately, Zera Odom v'Zera Behema. So since Hachil k'Kro, Zera Odom l'Chud, Zera Behema l'Chud, so that goes on the Burim. It doesn't go on the intelligent Jews. Okay. There's such a medrash on the beginning of the Beis HaLevi, and the Sefer Chumash has a comment like that on a medrash in the beginning of Parshas Chayesora. Elo Chayesora, Vayu Chayesora, Meir Shonim, Vayim Shonim, Sheva Shonim, Shnei Chayesora. So the medrash says that Sora Imenu was like a behemala. What kind of a loshen is that? She was like a maila. She was like a shepsala. What kind of a comment is that? So the Beis HaLevi quotes a Gemara in Kiddushin in the first parak, that if I sell you karka, so there are kinyonim for karka. If I sell you metaltalim, so you have to make separate kinyonim for metaltalim. So I sell you a watch, so you have to make hagbo, you pick it up. What if it's a very heavy thing, an automobile, you're going to make hagbo. You can make hagbo, put it on a ramp, and then push a button and have it go up. You can make hagbo. But the Gemara says, you're not mechuyev. If it's too difficult to make agbor, if it's a light thing like this, a Gemara, so you kind of with agbor. If it's a heavier thing, so you drive the car and you move a meshicha. So you make a meshicha is good. What if you're buying a behema from the other one, and you whistle to the behema that the behema should come towards you? So the Gemara said, that's also called meshicha. Meshicha is not only I drive the car, or I push the animal in the Rishus HaRabim, if I whistle to the behema and it comes, I harness the natural force of the behema, kachacham yurabai, so the mashicha relates to me. It's considered I made the kenya mashicha. What if I'm buying, someone has an ebed kenaini, I want to buy the ebed kenaini. So the Gemara says, ebed kenaini is metaltalim, but it's dino kikarka. So both kinyani karka work, or kinyani metaltalim work. Either kinyani work. So let's say you have an adult ebed kenaini, and you're selling them to me. So the Gemara says, I can be kind with the kenya mashicha. So what if I tell the Yevit, okay, come here, Jack, I just bought you from your master, you walk over here. So the guy comes over here. So the Gemara says, you're not kind of b'mshicha. Why not? The behemoth can be kind of b'mshicha. Koril over here, if I whistle to the animal, I scream at the animal, it comes towards me, I'm kind of b'mshicha. But if I tell the Yevit, walk towards me, I tell him, walk towards the door, walk to my house, I want to be koneh with the king Mashiach, so then it's not koneh. Why is there a difference? The Gemara says, if it's an Eved who's an adult, he always makes a decision, what he's going to do, what he's not going to do. So he's not kofif to me. He knows what's in his best interest, he better listen to me or he's going to be in big trouble. But it's his decision he makes. So he did, he walked on his own. That doesn't relate to me. But a behemoth doesn't have any seichel. So when I whistle to the behemoth, I tell the behemoth, come or go, whatever, that's considered as if the behemoth is doing it for me. The behemoth just is like a natural force. It's not considered a bardas who makes decision. So the Beis Halevi says that's what the Medrash wants to say. What a tzaddik, a sorry man it was. She was like a shepsala that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave a mitzvah and she followed like a behemoth. That's what the Gemara has the lashon. Eilu ben yodim sharumim medas. That b'chira chavshes, they're intelligent. They don't pass judgment. This mitzvah I like, this mitzvah I don't like, this one I will keep, this one I won't keep. Whatever the Rebbeinu Shalom says, that's it. We suspend our judgment and our seichel. We listen to all of the mitzvahs that the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us. So now the Gemara is going to discuss the story with the Kusim. We already discussed it a little bit. The original conversion of the Kusim as described in Sefer Melachim was clearly not a valid conversion. That's the Tosis on Gimel Amud Beis, Dima Maschal Kasava Kusim Geri Arayzen. The Tosis pointed out, the Pasuk says in Sefer Melachim, Es Elohim Hayu Ovdim, after they converted, the Kusim were moved from Kusa, that was a city in Chutz Lords, and they were moved into Eretz Yisrael, the king moved them, and then they were being attacked by lions, and they knew that that's not normal. Lions don't normally roam around in Eretz Yisrael. Lions are other parts of the world, but not in Eretz Yisrael. Even the days of Tanakh. So they understood that Eretz Yisrael is the God of the Jewish people is the God in Eretz Yisrael, so they better convert to the Judaism. So they converted, they became Gerim, they didn't ask any shaylos, they didn't accept any mitzvahs, they still continued to worship Avodah Zarah, so the lions were satisfied. So the lions stopped attacking them. So Tosfos says, but that Gerus was absolutely meaningless. You have a Gerus conversion, the first step in Gerus is, you have to say Nasa v'Nishma. All the laws of Gerus are learned out from Maimon HaSinai. So the first thing B'nai Yisrael said, Nasa v'Nishma, we commit ourselves to observe all the mitzvahs. So there was no commitment. But then in the days of the Tanaim, they looked around, the Kusim are observing many of the mitzvahs. They're only observing Torah Shebichsav, they're not observing all of the Torah Shebaalpeh. Some Torah Shebaalpeh they do observe, some Torah Shebaalpeh they don't observe. So the Tanaim were wondering, what's going on? Why did they all of a sudden begin observing mitzvahs? Is it just by osmosis? They saw the other, they lived in Eretz Yisrael, and the other Jews were observing mitzvahs, so they started also, but they never converted a second time. And maybe we should assume there must have been a second conversion at which time they were mekabel on mitzvah. So that's a historical machlekes that has relevance la'alocha. But the Kusim Geri Emesein, was there a second Geris and they are Jewish or not? So the accepted opinion is that yes, Kusim Geri Emesein. We assume, we don't know when, we assume that there must have been a second conversion at which time they became Jewish. And then in later generations, they are mezalzel and they stopped observing all of the Torah Shebaal Peh. But we assume that originally there was a Kabbalah on mitzvahs and basically the Kusim are Jewish. So now the Gemara says, yeah, the Kusim, the original conversion was meaningless as Elohim Hoyu Ovdim. In the days of the Tanakh, as described in Sefer Melachim, that conversion was not valid. Some later point, they must have converted a second time, they did become Jewish. But then in the days of Rabbi Gamliel, there were a few Rabbi Gamliels. So it's a question, which Rabbi Gamliel are we talking about? And in the days of Rabbi Meir, that's a question, was Rabbi Gamliel before Rabbi Meir, after Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Gamliel, the Yavne was before Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Gamliel, Ben Osher, Rabbi Yudah Anossi, was way later. It was after Rabbi Meir. So it's not clear which Tosfos has a whole discussion, history here, which Rabbi Gamliel are we talking about? So somehow, in later generations, in the days of whoever this Rabbi Gamliel is, and Rabbi Meir, we know who he is, so then they decided, even though the Kusim were Jewish, they were assumed to be Jewish for quite a few generations, now we're declaring that the Kusim are no longer Jewish. Why did they make such a declaration? Because they found that some of the Kusim were worshipping Avodah Zarah and Hag Rizim. The Gemara says, Demus Yonah, about 10 lines from the top of Vav and Aleph. Adav is usually the symbol of peace, no? The Shalom Achshav people, no? They're worshipping Demus Yonah and Hag Rizim. The worship began with Zohar. So because there was one little group, but there were Kusim all over the place. There was an epidemic of Kusim all over, like Karoim. There were Karoim all over the place. So because there was one small group of Kusim were worshiping Avodah Zarah. So all of a sudden, Rav Meir makes a declaration: all the kusim in the world, wherever they happen to live, we're going to declare they're all considered of the Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, "Yeah, Rav Meir goes l'shitosa. The Rav Meir chayish lemiyuta. Very strange thing. Rav Meir holds chayshin lemiyuta. What do you mean, Rav Meir holds chayshin lemiyuta? So Rashi fills you in on the information." What's a din if a man is married and he dies and he leaves no children? So the wife has to have chalitza or yibum, one or the other, chalitza or yibum. Unfortunately today, so for many generations, hardly ever happened. Today you have people get married, they get killed in Israeli army. So have every matik and darashtik, there's another chalitza, unfortunately. After you finish a chalitza, you say a special tefillah. You say, we should never have any more chalitzas, because it's a tragedy that a person dies leaving, especially in Eretz Yisrael, a young person is killed by the Arabs. So you do a chalitza. So the din is a chalitza can only be done if the girl is bas mitzvah, the almana. The girl is there. Today we don't marry off girls so young. Girls obviously going to be older than 19, the almana, and the brother has to be bar mitzvah. Because the pasuk says, ish, kochi asa le'ish, ish prat lekotten, and she has to be bas mitzvah. They both have to be bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah. So you can't perform chalitz. Let's say the husband dies, killed, whatever, and then he has a young brother who's only 5 years old. So you have to wait till the kid becomes bar mitzvah before you can do chalitz. It's a tragedy. She's an aguna for a couple years till the brother can do chalitz. So what about yibum? Let's say the younger brother is 12 years old. He's not bar mitzvah yet. Can he do yibum? Let's say she's, in the days of the Tanaim, used to get married much younger. So let's say the girl is only 15 years old, and her husband died, and then the brother-in-law is 12 years old. So she'll agree to marry him. The 12-year-old boy is going to marry the 15-year-old girl. Okay. So would we permit them, so they can't do chalitza because not bar mitzvah. They agree they want to get married. The parents agree they're going to get married. Can we allow them to live together now? That he should be living with his wife. So the Chacham, the Mishnah says we do permit it. She'll raise him. He's only 12 years old. She'll raise him till he becomes an adult, and they'll live together if they want to. We wouldn't recommend it. The Mishnah says the Tanoim say we should recommend whether it's a good shidduch or not. Masim la'itzah hogenislo. If she's much older than him, he's much older than her. So you try to recommend it's not a good shidduch. Don't marry each other. But it's just the difference of a few years. Let's say she's 14 and he's 12. That's not so bad. Maybe it is a good shidduch. Okay. So Rav Meir says you're not allowed to. We wouldn't permit them to live together. Why? Because the girl, you can tell already that she's not an islandess. She's already 12 years old. She has already, her body is beginning to develop. So you see the girl is not an islandess. But the boy is only 12 years old. He may turn out to be a soris. And the din is that if the man who died, the husband who died was a soris, or the brother, the surviving brother is a soris, so there's no din of yibum or chalitza. There's no din of zika at all. A lot of times they didn't have children. Let's say the couple was married for 65 years, and the husband died, she needs chalitza. That's not called a soris. That's called this okar of akara. Okar is a man who can't have children. Akara, often due to a hormone imbalance that can sometimes be treated by medication. So if they were married for so many years, they didn't have any children, either he had a problem or she had a problem. Someone must have had a problem. But that's not the same as a soris islandess. Soris and islandess means the whole body doesn't develop normally. So the Gemara Yevamos gives you simanim. How do you determine whether any given girl is an islandess, whether any given boy is a soris? But you can't begin to tell that the boy is a soris until after he's 13 years old. So Rav Meir is, and now how many boys are sorisim? What percentage of the world population are soris? What percentage of the world population of women is islanders? A very tiny percentage. Probably less than 5%, I would assume. Probably less than 1%, I don't know. Not okavakora. Soris and islanders. Islanders, the whole body doesn't develop normally. Soris and islanders and constant different things. So Rav Meir is chayish lemiyuta. Rav Meir is chayish lemiyuta. That since there's a possibility that the boy may turn out to be soris, or if the girl is not 14, we don't know yet. Maybe she'll turn out, let's say the girl's only 10. So would we let the girl live with the brother-in-law? So Rav Meir says, no, we wouldn't, because chashina lemiyuta. Maybe it'll turn out that the girl is an islandess. And we don't pass like Rav Meir. We pass like chashina lemiyuta. You don't have to worry about that. So Meir l'shitasa, just like a Meir holds chashin l'miyuta, that you don't allow the boy and the girl to live together, the almana with the yavam to live together, to perform yibum, because it may turn out someone's going to be a source of an islandess. So Rav Meir l'shitasai, because there was one group of kusim and hagrizim who were worshipping Avodah Zarah, but there's so many other groups of kusim, and each one had their own shtick, each one like the karoim today, each group has their own shtick. So Rav Meir was afraid, chashin l'miyuta, just like there was one tiny group there in hagrizim worshipping Avodah Zarah, so he declared they should all have the din of Avodah Zarah. So he mentioned that's a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch. Does that mean like a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah? Is dina ki akum? A mumal Avodah Zarah? Is dina ki nachri? So that's what it is over here. But let's say this Jew who's a mumal Avodah Zarah, he dies. Is he mitami ba'ohel? Of course, he's Jewish. Bottom line, he's Jewish. You can't use him as the Shabbos guy. He's Jewish. You can't sell your chametz to him. The fellow is Jewish just because he converted to Christianity. He's the galach who converted, but he's still Jewish. You can't use him as the Shabbos guy. So can you use the kusi as the Shabbos guy? Did they declare the kusim is ka'akum gur mechol devrein bein l'hakol bein l'hachmara? No, because the choshish maybe is like an obid abid azar. Jews and obid abid azar is a dina ka'akum l'chumr, but not l'kula. So this is a machlokes in Yeridei in Hilchas Ribbis. Are you permitted to lend money beribbis to a kusi? And they quote there, the Rambam is the one who says the wild opinion. The Rambam's opinion is that after the Rav Meir declared that the kusim are dinan ka'akum, he's no longer mitami ba'ohel. L'hokel, he's ka'akum bein l'hokel bein l'hachmer. And other Rishonim say it's not so. Let's say a kusi comes, let's say a non-Jew comes, gives a ring to a Jewish girl, says, Hariyah mukudeshesli. The Gemara says, there is no kiddushin. A nochri is mekadosh a Jewish girl, there is no kiddushin topsin. What if a kusi is mekadosh a Jewish girl? So is he only like a Yisrael mumer? So Yisrael mumer she kiddush as Risha. The Gemara says in Yibamis the kiddushin achal. But if you say there were goys on the kusim liyos kachem l'chol devrein bein l'hakam bein l'hachmer, so the kiddushin are not chal. So this is machlekes in Hilchas Ribbis in Yerideya. Yeah, you have the machlekes in Hilchas Kiddushin. The kusim she kiddush as Risha. And they quote the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis in the end of Nidah is the one who holds this mechudish de geshita. That the kusim akakam bein lahakal bein lahachm. So the Gemara says that this declaration, what do you mean they declare? They pick a Jew, I don't like you, you're a guy. What right do they have to pick on me? They declare I'm a guy. Because there's a miut of kusim who are worshipping Abba Hagrizim, so they declared that I'm a guy. Where in the world did they get the right to do this? If you say bein lahakal bein lahachm. So that's what the Sridi Yesh has in his Chuvis. He says the Gemara at the end of the first parak in Yevamos has an opinion that if a non-Jew is mekadosh an isha b'zmanazeh choshishim likidushin, maybe the non-Jew is from a descendant from the lost 10 tribes. Shema me'aseres hashvatim hu. Maybe his mother's mother all the way back was Jewish. If it wasn't the mother, it was the father, then he's not Jewish. But if his mother's mother all the way back till Golus aseres hashvatim, so maybe he's Jewish. Then the Gemara says we don't pass him like that. Even if you can ascertain that it is true, the odds are that it's not true, that all the mother's mother all the way back, highly unlikely, but even if you know for a fact that it is true that his mother's mother etc. was Jewish, because the pasuk says in Treyosar describing the Aseres HaShvatim, Bashem Bagodu, they rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kibonim Zar Mielodu, they intermarried, they assimilated, goodbye and good luck, and that's it. They're not Jewish anymore. Bein l'hakol, bein l'hachmer. So the original pasuk says about the Aseres HaShvatim. So the Rambam and others are of the opinion that this applies to any group of Jews who float away so far away from mainstream Judaism that it doesn't look like Judaism at all, like the Kusim over here. So it's up to the Chachamim to declare, to determine, do we can still consider them Jewish or not. It's a little, today the reform are further than the Kusim ever were. No one's interested in declaring anything. Okay. But
the early Christians.
Huh?
Early Christians.
Yeah. Early Christians, right. Also Shiloh. So the Rambam's opinion is that it is not only a Hayra Shoah once in the history of the world, the Aseres HaShvatim, any group of Jews who the Chachamim feel floated away so much from mainstream Judaism that they don't look like Jews, so they have the right to declare that they're dina ka'akum. And then there was even a further opinion, the Shita Sagar, not only a group of Jews like the Kusim or like the Aseres HaShvatim, any individual Jew who becomes a Meshumet. So the Goyim were of the opinion that if a Jew converts to another religion, he becomes Ois Jew. He's not Jewish. But if he's Mkadosh and Isha, the Gemara says the Kiddush and Achal. So the Goyim say that's only a Chumer Midirabbanon, because we hope someday he's going to be Chayz of a Tshuva. But strictly speaking, he's not Jewish anymore. We always assume once a Jew, always a Jew. We always assume not so. We really don't hold like the Goyim. But they quote in Shulchan Aruch, they quote this opinion of the Goyim, Lahachmir. Lahachmir means like this. A man died and he left no children, so his wife needs chalitza. And he has two brothers, two surviving brothers. One converted to another religion and one is still Jewish. So would you permit the one who converted to the other religion to do the chalitza? So the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, we're choshish for the Shita Sagoinim, that a mumer ain't a zekik, that a Jew who converted to another religion is not considered Jewish. So it's not shaykh, he can't do chalitz. The other brother has to do the chalitz. So the Goyim said this, Lahakal also, the Goyim said if the sole surviving brother is a Jew who converted, then you don't need chalitza, period. So that the Ramah does not paskin like that. Chacham Avadya paskins like that. That's he's on his own. But the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch only paskins like the Goyim, Lahachman, not Lahakal. If there are two surviving brothers, and one is a Meshuman who converted to another religion and was basically Jewish, so we should insist that the Meshuman shouldn't do the chalitza, the Jewish brother has to do the chalitza. I must have told over the story. There was a Maisa, this Sri Yesh writes the whole story. There was a Jewish man died in Germany, in a little village in Germany, had two surviving brothers. So one was a communist who was an atheist, a real communist. He didn't believe in anything, no religion at all. And the other one lived in Berlin, and he converted to Christianity. In those times, it was better for Parnassa if you convert to become a Christian. So the woman lived in Germany. So they thought for sure, the brother who was an atheist, the communist, nothing to discuss. He's not going to do chalitza. They were eish lahava. They were furious against all religion. But the brother who converted to Christianity, basically he's a nice guy, just converted for Parnassa. So they were considering the possibility that maybe he'll do the chalitza. So the Rabbanim were discussing it. So the Rav in the village sent the Shaila, when he used to have difficult challenge, he used to send the Shaila to the Sweetie Yesh. He was in Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin. So when he used to have Shvera Shaila, so he would discuss it with other Rabbanim. So he wrote a Ganze Tshuva, and he says he thinks that he shouldn't permit the one who converted to do Chalitz, because B'choshish for the Shita Sagoinim. I bet the other one is an apikoris dina kakum. He doesn't believe he's an atheist. No. The Goyim only said it that he's dina kakum if he officially converted to another religion. But if he's an atheist, he never converted to any religion. He's a communist, an atheist. The Goyim never said it. So he said you have to be machmer that there's no zika to the brother who converted, but there is zika to the communist. The communist probably will not agree to do it, so the woman is an aguna. So they sent the tshuva to the Rav in this little village in Germany. So the Rav happened to bump into the Rogatchover when he came to Germany for medical treatment. And he told him the psak of the Sridi Yesh. So he says, who in the world is this guy Weinberg? His name is Weinberg. Who is this Weinberg? Magen a woman for no good reason. What's Hakta Chani? What did he dig up Achreinu for Nunta Derer to be magen the woman? So Rabbi Weinberg sent back, what do you mean, dig up Achrein for Nunta there? I quoted the Ramah in the Chassam Sefer. The Ramah says, when Machma for the Shitas HaGoinim, that a Jew who converted is not Jewish. And the Goinim and the Shitas HaGoinim is that it's only if he actually converted to another religion. No, the Chassam Sefer says, he's only converted to another religion. Didn't convert, not. So what was he? So the Rogatchover said, it's ridiculous. He doesn't accept. So Weinberg wanted to investigate. Maybe he's making a mistake. So he sent letters to around 5-6 Rabbanim. And several of the tshuvas that he has in his Sridi Yesh, he quotes the tshuvas from the Chazon Ish, from Rabbi Chaim Oizer, and from the Rav from Kalish, and the Rav from Mir. Different. So here he has around 5 Rabbanim. So he made up, if it's only me against the Rogatchover, I give in. Rogatchover was a gun. But if he says the others are going to agree with me, then I'm not going to give in. So they all agreed with Weinberg. They all said he's right. The Psaka is right. So then, in the middle of the whole correspondence, one of the Rabbanim in Berlin met the brother who was the Meshumet. So he said, oh, you know, the rabbis are having a whole correspondence whether they're going to permit you to do the chalitza for your sister-in-law. So he, Rishak, says, never, nothing to discuss. Tell the rabbis nothing to discuss. I'm not Jewish, goodbye and good luck. So when they told this to the Ragat Shavis, so he took it as a simon min hashamayim that Weinberg was right, that his psak was wrong, Weinberg's right. No. So that's that. So he has this Sri Yesh has this whole tshuva on this gemara that the original mocker, the original pasuk is by the Aseres Hashvatim, Bashem Bagodu Kivorim Zorim Yoladu, that the Chachamim declared the Aseres Hashvatim lost the Kedushas Yisrael, and then by the Kusim it's a machlokes harishonim in Hilchos Ribis and in Hilchos Kedushin, whether the Kusim are Dina Kakam Bein Lahokal Bein Lahachmer only Lahachmer, and then by the Yochid who converted all by himself, not a whole group of people. That's a further machloikah. So we're choishes for the shitas ha-goyim. Then a mumer, a Jew who converts to another religion, officially converts to another religion, loses his kedushas Yisrael. We're not really paschal like that, but we're machma like that.
What is the key to
I don't know. That's the rishonim and the achronim work on that kasha. The gemara has a machloikah. It's hatanayim, what aseres hashvatim, or asidim lachzor or anat. See, here the Gemara says that they were all non-Jews. They lost the Kedushas Yisroel. So how could they be a Machlekes HaTanayim with Asidim Lachzor? So Rashi says something about it. Rashi and Sanhedrin raises the issue. So we don't know exactly where Rashi answered. And then the Achrayim work on the Kasha. Like, I don't know. It's the Kasha is better than the Teres.
So why did they give any credence to what Eldad had done? If you say it's never done, if you start struck them, they couldn't even listen to it in the first place.
No. He claims that his Shevet Don never intermarried, they never assimilated. He said the others, Bashem Bagod, the Kibarim Zarim Lada, those who intermarried, so they lost the Kedushas as well. This guy, Eldad Adoni, came with a whole Sefer. And he says, we follow all the Dinim in the Torah, we said, this is our Bible, this is our Shulchan Aruch.
Sadia Gaon fought him very young.
Yeah, he was assumed to be a faker. Yes. He was assumed Eldad Adoni was a fake. Okay, so Billy Netter. Next week I'm not going to be here. Next week, unless it's a snowstorm, and I won't be able to. I'm planning to go to Eretz Yisrael on Sunday night for a week. So next week I probably will not be able to give a shit. But the week after, I will be back. Okay, so we'll continue to learn. What were the two steps over here? Rabbi Gamliel made one gzera, and Rabbi Meir made another gzera. Which one came first, and why? Why were they different? We'll have to learn. In this week's Sedra, you have about all of the big dekuhuna described. So, Kohen Hedyot and Kohen Gadol both wear a special yarmulke. One is called the Mikvas, and one is called the Mitznefes. So, Tosfos and Yuma has a machlokes. Is it the same thing or are two different things? So, one opinion of Tosfos is they're called two different things in the Chumash. One is called the Mitznefes, one is called the Mikvas. So, Tosfos points out, the Gemara says in Yuma that the Kohen Gadol had to wear a tzitz. And the Gemara says, Saira Haya Nira, where did he wear the tzitz? That's also 2 days in Tosfos. Where was the tzitz? Tzitz was on his forehead. That's what it sounds in Chumash. V'hoya al mitzcha tamid. Al mitzcha means the forehead. But the Targum Unkele says, al mitzcha bein enohi. What does that mean, bein enohi? So it says, k'shatim lo sa'idecha v'hoya l'tatoviz bein enecha. So where do you put the tefillin? You put it over here. Now you put it over here. So you see in the Chumash, the word Bein Einechem means over here. So one opinion of Tosfos says, you don't put the tzitz over here. You put the tzitz B'makom Seir. You put it over here. So wherever the tzitz was, so the Gemara says, Saira Haya Nira Bein Tzitz L'mes Nefesh Shesham Haya Minich Tfilin. The Kohen Gadol, he couldn't put on Shal Yad because he can't put the Shal Yad below the Big Dekuna L'Biachat Tzitzah. Can't put it above the Big Dekuna. Can't put it below the big dekuna, there'll be a chatzitza between the big dekuna and his body. Can't put it above the big dekuna, the sleeve will be a chatzitza between the tefillin shal yad and the arm. So he didn't wear shal yad. But shal rosh, the Gemara said the Kohen Gadol did wear the shal rosh. Shal rosh and shal yad on that me'akim zezeh. The Gemara says he wore the tzitz al mitzchah, whatever that means. Sairo hayanira ben tzitz al mesnefesh, sham hayaminich tefillin. So if you hold the tzitz was put on hair, so a regular kohen hedyot doesn't wear a tzitz. So he wears a little tefillin shel rosh over here, and he wears a mikvas over here. Kohen Gadol, if he wears a tzitz over here, then you have to have hair sticking out a little 2 inches behind the tzitz. The tzitz is 2 inches. Then you need room to put the shel rosh. Then the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol is going to be a smaller yarmulke. The more holy the man is, the smaller the yarmulke. So the Kohen Gadol had to wear a smaller yarmulke. So Tosfos said that's why this is called mitznefes and that's called mikbas, because the Kohen Gadol had to wear the tzitz over here, then he had to wear the tefillin over here, so there wasn't so much room, and you can't put the tefillin on top of the mitznefes. It'll be a chatzitza weiter. There's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch whether there's a din of chatzitza on shal rosh. The Mishnah only Megillah. The Mishnah only says a din of chatzitza on shal yad. So the Beis Yosef in Hilchas Tefillin quotes the machlokes. Is there a din of chatzitza on shal rosh? Even if you hold there's not, the Gemara says Rav Yechanan was very sensitive in the summertime. The Gemara says he rarely put on a shal rosh. If he would expose his head, he would get sick. In the summertime, in winter time, he must have been, had a shvacha, a sickly person. So most of the summer, he didn't wear tefillin shel rosh. Most of the winter, he didn't wear tefillin shel rosh. Rarely wore tefillin shel rosh. So the Rishonim ask a kasha, why? But if you hold, there's no din of chatzitza on shel rosh, so let him wear his hat and let him put the shel rosh on top. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, they don't really answer, they don't explain what the answer. Rav Soloveitchik explained, even if you hold, there's no din of chatzitza, that means like this, if I have a thin yarmulke on top and I put a shal rosh, and I can feel, when I put the shal rosh on, I tighten it, I can feel the sensation is I'm wearing a shal rosh on my head. But if I'm going to wear a big hat, a big felt hat, and I'm going to put tefillin, a shtreimel, I'm going to tefillin on top of the shtreimel, there's no sensation at all that the bias is sitting on my head. So that l'chol ha'deis is no good. So that's what the Gemara says, the Kohen Gadol couldn't wear the shal rosh on top of his mitznefes. So if you hold the shemokam of the tzitz was on the seir bein enoi, hoy al mitzchah tomi, the Targum Mokam says bein enoi means over here, and then they had to move back to put the shal rosh, then the mitznefes had to be smaller than the mikbas. So the holier the coin is, so the smaller the yarmulke was. By the galach, by the pope, the pope's is smaller or larger?
Large one.
He's less holy. See, he's less holy. The holier you are, the smaller the yarmulke is.
Yeah, but the step is to the sign tells what they have, how big about them. Doesn't it say how big the is?
The Rambam, thank you. No. The Rambam describes it as like a turban.
A turban, that's what I always think of.
Shkaya, okay. The Aliyim will be very happy. Okay. Shkaya.
You mean to say that they never wore tefillin even for no person like Rav Yochanan, the Kohen Gadol didn't wear even for 5 minutes to put it on, or he, in other words, did the Kohen Gadol have to wear his big day kahuna the whole time to the point